Welcome to The Wedding Edit, a wedding planning podcast for the modern couple.
Today we have here with us the beautiful soul that is Natasha Keneally from Natasha Keneally Bridal. Tash, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fabulous. It's so good to have you here with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you know all things hair and makeup. That's what we're chatting about today, and I'm super excited to chat to you about that. You've done my hair and makeup, and I look so fresh and glowy, and I had like a beautiful upstyle done by you, and it was just like so calming and just a lovely all-round experience. So Tash, tell us a little bit about what you do in your process.
Yeah, so process-wise, generally, I've got an inquiries page on my website, and that's got a few questions that sort of break down, you know, how many people in your bridal party, location, and a few little details like that. Generally, I won't do hair and makeup for larger parties. I just feel it. Sometimes it's really hard to get a good quality assistance on the day, and I just find that it's just too stressful to manage all of that. So I've been cutting back down. So I'll do hair and makeup for bridal parties of three, and I find that's enjoyable and relaxing and manageable. But anything over that, I'd always strongly recommend finding another senior artist. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, do you prefer more my makeup style or my hair styling work? And then we sort of just go from there, and then I can make some recommendations and, you know, people that I like working alongside of, and, you know, just sort of pick up the vibe of the bride as well and sort of work out her style and, yeah, take it from there.
So Tash, what do your packages include? How does it all work?
So I'm sort of getting away from packages as such, but obviously I offer hair and makeup services. I'm trying to, just cap it to the focus on micro weddings or like elopements. Yes, I'll definitely do hair and makeup for the bride and travel to location. Larger parties, strongly recommending, you know, multiple senior artists to work with. If there's a bride wanting like a very bespoke sort of headpiece, I can sort of talk. Once we've designed the hairstyle, then we can work a headpiece around that.
And you'll design that headpiece for someone getting married.
Doing a really cool piece. I've got a bride in November, and she's got a Paolo Sebastian gown, and it's
beautiful.
All on cherry blossoms. So I've actually got branches of a blossom tree that I've cast in sterling silver, and we're creating this sort of like, you know, like the reverse crown that just at the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. She's got a very simple bun, but then this beautiful sterling silver, very like one-off. You'd never repeat it again. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. So hair, makeup, accessories, everyone can kind of choose here and there what they want to add in or do separately based on how many people they're having or if it's just for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Well, that's fabulous.
So what kind of looks do you do? Like glowy, natural, bold? What is there like a signature look that people are coming to you for?
Yeah, definitely the more natural, glowy, just the very understated sort of bride. The reason why I started just sort of focusing on that sort of type of bride, personally when I got married 8 years ago, I don't wear a lot of makeup, and my background is a lot more sort of fashion and advertising. So it's very natural makeup anyway, and I really struggled to try and find a makeup artist that would cater for my needs. So a lot of amazing makeup, and I had trial after trial, and I thought, oh my gosh, why is it so hard to find a makeup artist that can look after us people that want to wear some makeup but don't still want to feel like the best version of ourselves? And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there was such a gap. A lot has changed since then, thankfully, but I just think it's really important that I stay true to that type of bride. I feel like there's still a need. Like there's a really nice handful of makeup artists that do the beautiful, natural, glowy, and we've all got our own sort of styles. We've also bring our own sort of personalities. So, yeah, I just always find just the very natural, understated brides that are a little bit nervous about having their makeup done as well, that sometimes they find it a bit overwhelming, the whole experience. And then when we meet, they're like, oh, it's, you know, I just sort of talk them through the process, make them feel really comfortable and just sort of work out what it is to for them to still feel like a bride but still feel like themselves as well.
Yeah.
That's great that you've kind of covered that gap that you saw in the market. And
it was just from my own experience.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this so hard? And it's not like they're not great makeup artists, but we're all different. Like we all have our own comfort zones in regards to how we want to see ourselves, and particularly on your wedding day, like you want to feel like – it's so important to feel like yourself.
That's amazing. Yeah, we did a wedding together. Actually, I think all of us did the wedding together for Andy and Heather.
Oh, yes, Heather's
and
yes.
Heather was so I was obviously Heather's celebrant.
Yeah.
Will and co did the photos and you were doing the makeup. And that was exactly Heather wanting to find something that made her feel her best self without being too full on, you know, feeling natural and looking natural, but also feeling really beautiful.
Yeah, putting that dress on. And
oh, my gosh.
It just all makes sense, you know, finishing off that story.
That was absolutely great. Yeah. But I do have to say, obviously, we have asked you, you know, what style you do, and I don't want to throw off your potential clients, but you have done my makeup before well on a photo shoot, and that was a very bold look because I'm not really a subtle natural gal.
Yeah.
Huge brows, bold red lip, big eyes, and I have to say it was amazing.
Yeah.
So even though – I just wanted to say that kudos to you, even though you know your niche, you know where your market is, it's – you're an amazing makeup artist in any style.
Oh, thank
so.
You.
Yeah, because I like that day I put you through. I was like, no, bold lip this. You were like, wait, what? Like, I thought everything was going to be beige in this photo shoot. I was like, not me, girl.
There's nothing beige about you, Lauren.
But you did it. You nailed it.
Oh,
so
thank you.
That was good.
Yeah. It's just a matter of like talking to your clients and just I find it funny when they bring a picture and they have an idea of their mind that they're communicating what they're wanting and then sort of breaking it down and actually really understanding what they're trying to achieve with their look.
Yeah.
It's an interesting like process, I find.
And I think for someone, for example, like myself, I love what makeup looks like, but I don't really have an understanding of anything to do with it, how to apply it. Sometimes people probably bring a picture to you and say, this is how I want to look, but maybe they mean this is I like the look of this eye or I like the colours used or I like that the face is glowy. So, you know, I guess breaking that down is a bit of something you would have to unravel as to what exactly in that picture or
communication
that inspiration.
Is key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, knowing to and building up that rapport with the client in the first place and having that, you know, mutual understanding and me sort of being able to read off that person. You know, sometimes you can get a vibe of what they're really like and what you think. Sometimes you can sort of take the initiative and sort of push the boundaries a little bit and, okay, oh, I just want to stick to nudes. And it's like, yeah, but I think if we add like a bit of a peach, you know, and that'll just lift you up a little bit, or I'll look at your coloured eyes and think, oh, you know, maybe if we just add like a little, even though we still use a brown, but have if we use like a little bit more copper just to make the eyes pop a little bit more and then they're like, oh, wow, I never thought of that.
So should couples be doing a hair and makeup trial with you?
Look, it really depends. And sometimes it's not always ideal for some couples. I get a lot of brides coming in from overseas, interstate, so it's never always ideal. I do always recommend at least doing a Zoom chat so we can see face-to-face. I think, you know, when we're just emailing, I just find doing a Zoom, you're a lot more tangible. We're real. I can see you as a real person. And then I just make sure if it's not possible to do a trial that I allow that buffer on the day so we still have that time to talk it through and we're not rushing, if that makes sense. I'll probably on the day do more of a like a step-by-step makeup and talk you through what I'm doing as opposed to just okay, that's your picture. I'll replicate it and ta-da. That's, yeah.
So that in that way you mean for like local people should do one if they can?
If it's ideal to do a trial, particularly if you're not sure, if you find the whole process of getting your hair and makeup done overwhelming and, you know, trying to piece it all together, sometimes I've recommended to those, you know, some people just aren't visual people, and to visualise their hair and makeup and tying it in with their dress, come in and get a hair and makeup trial and sort of tee it up the same day as a dress fitting, because then you can go to your dress, have your hair and makeup done, go to your dress fitting, put your dress on, and then you can see how the hairstyle's tying in with the outfit.
That's a great idea. So it definitely sounds like if you can manage it, if you're physically in the state near you, Tash, it is a great idea if it works within your plan.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, I guess, on the day everyone's comfy.
And it doesn't always suit people's budgets either. You know, that's
absolutely
another factor to consider. So, yeah, you just got to be flexible. But if you can fit it into your budget, and it just gives you that reassurance too. You're like, I know what I'm going to get on the day. So just sort of ticks that box. And then we can talk about other things, you know, like, you know, maintenance of brows or, you know, skin maintenance. You know, if you've got any skin concerns, you know, things like, do you need to do any sort of microdermabrasion leading up, but also time frame as well? So you start, obviously, if we're meeting 3 months before your wedding, you would want to start all your microderm and that sort of thing like well before, you know, at least 6 months before you're getting ready for your wedding. So
you've sort of touched on a timeline when you've mentioned microdermabrasion, for example. What would you suggest if couples are looking at making those changes to a skincare routine, changing the shape of their brows, you know, someone who's lightening their hair for a wedding? How far out are you wanting them to do that so that, you know, you're confident going ahead with the hair or makeup style? Do you have a guide or a suggestion for people doing anything, basically doing anything to their face or hair before their wedding?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'll start with skin first because that's – hair and skin are so different.
Mm-hmm.
Skin at least 6 months out if you can, and you know, get the advice of your ladies at your skincare place. But, yeah, definitely don't add anything new to your routine 3 months out from your wedding. The last thing you want is to be having a breakout on your wedding day and, you know, worrying about how your skin is or if you've reacted to something. Mm. Yeah, test all of that out well before your wedding day. And if you've run out of time, just stick to your normal routine. Do not change anything.
So if there's something you thought, I really want to try this and you just haven't had that chance, once you hit that 3 months, too bad.
Sorry, lock it in.
Great.
Yeah.
And is that the same with hair? What about, I'm talking about even hair colouring.
Oh,
obviously, I have no hair, but for those with hair colouring or hair cutting, what's the vibe there, Tash?
I generally, well, it depends. If we've done a trial and we realise we could do with a bit more length, and then we have the conversation of, you know, are they comfortable to use their hair extensions or would they prefer that it's purely their own hair? And then we sort of have a bit of a goal and sort of work out a plan B if the hair's not quite the right length and, you know, being realistic with expectations on what your hair can do. Hair colour, gosh, you know, how long's a piece of string? Like if you've got someone who's quite dark and they think, oh, my gosh, I want to sort of go ombre, and you know it's going to take a few colours to get that sort of tone on the ends to settle down. Again, at least a good 6 months, and make sure you find your person that you really trust with your hair and they're very honest. I always talk through my clients with that and sort of educate them on the right kind of language to use with their hairstylist. I always say, please never cut your fringe before your wedding. I will do it on the day.
Yeah.
Because the amount of times I've had a bride and I've styled her fringe and it's been cut too short and and it's right there in your face.
Have you ever Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice situation on the wedding day?
I
mean, I'm not adverse to that, but that could be stressful for you, Tash. I feel that.
I know, and I can't hide it. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no going anywhere. Yeah. Once that is,
you can't pin it. It'll look bad. Didn't you have like no fringe?
Like a spiky.
Somebody that has a short fringe.
That's it, we'll just scalp it off.
You can cut it really, really short.
So when you bring the clippers in, that can be your disclaimer.
I know.
If you cut your fringe, I'm shaving your head on your wedding day. I don't know how that would go for booking in clients.
Oh, that's
for
pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I always offer like just that they can have the ends trimmed or any layers around the front. They're welcome to do that, but the fringe I will cut on the day.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So good. So when should couples be looking at booking you in? Like how long do you need?
It really depends on the time of year. So if you're looking at booking like high season, I would generally say between January, used to be March, but even April's crazy now. Yeah. I find they're really high sort of peak season. And brides will easily book in 12 months in advance during that time. But I find in the off season, you get a lot of sort of last minute elopements, and I'm always happy to bend around those sort of last minute dates. Mm-hmm. So, but generally during high season, at least 12 months, because those brides are, they know it's high season and they just want to get all their quality vendors in quickly.
Yeah.
So this hair and makeup process, it sounds so fabulous, so relaxing, so much fun. You've mentioned a lot that you're seeing gorgeous brides booking in for bridal makeup, things like that. What about, you know, so that to me sounds more like, you know, you're doing women's makeup. What about men's makeup, makeup for non-binary folks? Obviously, we have lots of different couples getting married now. It's a very much more move to an inclusive industry. Are you finding there's a lot of demand for different makeups, or are you focused mainly on bridal?
So, yeah, I work with brides and brides, grooms and grooms, and brides and grooms wanting to get ready together and wanting their hair and makeup services looked after. So trying to work out costings for men's makeup, because sometimes a client might say to me, well, my partner just wants natural.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's natural?
That's what you do that's
natural. You know, for TV, I'll do, you know, conceal under the eyes and, you know, that little bit of redness around the nose, put a little bit of lip balm, and then I'll tidy up their hair. But then I've done other couples where, you know, particularly with the Middle Eastern men, sometimes if their partner's of fairer skin, they want to be toned down to the same tone as their partner because they don't want to appear darker.
Yeah.
So then that's a full face. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a thing. So
you would see it like because you would in person. Like
it's a lot more work to bring them down a tone but keep them as natural as possible.
So you would notice like –
yeah, but it's still a full face of makeup.
Oh,
I wouldn't call that, even though I'm trying to make them look natural, that's not.
Cause it's still a full face,
It would really, for men's makeup, unless they want like a full, like, you know, they want like fully what's called feminine. Is that?
Probably. You mean like you're like, thinking like a makeup with bold eyes, a pop of a lip.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying if you're trying to keep it very natural and a
like
very
masculine
look. If you
wanted to make Doug look like Doug but take away some of his flaws, like.
What flaws?
We do love you just the way you are.
Like, you know, what I would cover up, you know, being like, oh, I want my bags covered up or, you know,
which is pretty common,
pigmentation, things like that. Yeah.
Generally for guys, it's that redness in the nose.
Yeah.
That little bit there.
I've put makeup on Doug's nose a bit, especially when he gets a bit too much sun.
Yep.
Just tone down the little pinky.
Yeah.
It goes really red, like he's like a big red wine drinker.
Yeah. And, you know, for some guys, even just that if they don't have a beard, that just tidying up that little chin area as well and sort of tidying up the jawline.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry.
And are you doing – do you do – if you're doing the men's makeup, are you doing a little bit of tidying with the facial hair? Like whipping out the Tash Keneally razor?
I do recommend they get it done before the wedding. Yeah. It's just – like for you, imagine Dana trying to photograph a guy who's just had a haircut and he's got little bits of hair everywhere. Yeah. Like you don't want to really be doing that on the day.
Oh, no.
That is one thing I do recommend to couples is keep a beard diary.
Ooh.
So,
Doug, this one's for you.
Yeah.
Dear diary.
Yeah.
Today me and my beard cuddled. We're going to go to the shops later and then I'll call Tash and tell her I wrote this down.
Is that what you mean? Yeah, we'll work out.
Maybe like getting it cut though.
I'm joking.
Today me and my beard went to the barber.
Well, it depends on how often you like to wash it, When is it sitting best after it's been washed?
Yeah.
For guys that love the shadow, when they trim it, like when is it best after you've trimmed it?
Do you know what I mean? Which
day? Yeah, which day is it at? So I did that with my husband for our wedding. So we worked day three.
Oh. Day three, perfect
so,
day.
Yeah, we had our day three and then I said, okay, you can shave today before our wedding. And I knew his stubble was going to be like perfect on the day.
Perfect wedding stubble.
Yeah. Love it. That's good.
That's excellent.
So keep a beard diary, guys.
Amazing, amazing. And is a service you offer on top of that natural look, you know, a men's makeup style that is a lot more out there with, like I was saying before, the full eye, the full lip, or because you more tend to the natural style, would you prefer in your client base keeping it more natural for both of your couple?
I'm happy to accommodate anything really, but most of my clients that have asked me over the last six months, it's really gone up with men's makeup.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, it's pretty much more about just enhancing their natural features, maybe a little bit of mascara for the lashes, but just that really natural coating, you know, how the ends sort of blonde off a little bit, tidying up the brows and, you know, tidying up under the eyes and just making you look really fresh, really.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, Tash, could you tell us a bit of a price estimation that couples might be looking at? I know it will change varying on like how many people are getting ready, those kind of things and what's included, but could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I have a minimum booking fee and that just allows me to just be available for smaller brides. And then because I only take on one wedding a day, I've really cut back. I don't sort of rush around. And so I sort of hang around until, you know, once you have your photos done, I can, while I pack my kit down, I can stick around and do like one last lip touch up or a little bit of powder on the nose before you jump in your car and head off to your ceremony.
Yeah. Do you have like a per person kind of? You've obviously got the minimum spend that you said.
Yeah, yep. I've got the minimum spend of 500 and I just blanket at that. So even if it's one person, I keep it at that. And then obviously travel on top of that as well. And then makeup is about 150 per person and hair's 150 as well. So it's about 300 for hair and makeup for a bride and then I do a little bit less for the mother of the bride, so she'll be about 210 because they're normally a lot easier and, yeah, I don't need to do as much for them.
Tash, how do you kind of utilise all your amazing skills and your product knowledge to find success with the tricky things like colour matching, you know, for different skin tones, but also for people who might want to cover up scars, birthmarks, pigmentation, or on the other hand, people who want to really show off those unique parts of their skin? How do you tackle that?
So when I meet with my clients, I sort of just have the conversation, you know, do you like your freckles? Do you like the moles? Is there anything you want enhanced? Anything that you'd like concealed? I sort of work from there and sort of work out. I have about four different foundations that I like to work with and finding the right base that's going to work with what they've got.
So let's chat a little bit about some prep for couples and things that they might do like before the day or on the day. So I'd love to know, like, is there any kind of special foods that they can eat that's going to make their skin like extra glowy or like their hair extra shiny?
Yeah.
Oh, insider tips and tricks.
I know.
Secrets.
Oh, well, tell us all the things. Hair, you know, the multivitamins, the skin, hair and nails is always good to take. Silica. What else can they take? There's a lot of supplements and things, you know, really working on the inside, but you do need to get onto that at least 6 months out to get the benefits of that. Yeah.
I suppose drinking lots of water is always going to be very good for your skin hydration.
Yeah. Cutting back on the alcohol if you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of tea, cutting back on the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then can you use caffeine in different ways too? Like if I have puffy eyes, can we put like caffeine on the puffy eyes?
Yeah, those eye patches are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like a coffee scrub.
I think it's, is it Frank or Frankie Body does Frank a really Body, amazing coffee scrub.
So don't ingest the coffee. Simply put it on the your outside face. Of you. Any like topical coffee. Any other, you know, weird secret tips. You know, one of my favorite movies, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Anything that's wrong, put a bit of Windex on it. Tula wakes up on her wedding day with a big pimple, puts the Windex. No, actually, I think it's her partner who wakes up with the pimple, puts the Windex and it goes away. Oh my gosh, have to rewatch it. But, you know, any secrets like the Windex.
And toothpaste is another popular one.
Putting the toothpaste
pimples? On a pimple.
Yeah. So on the pimple, not the teeth.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, it's beneficial if you do it for your teeth as well.
Maybe also brush your teeth. Yeah. On your wedding day, that would be ideal.
And hemorrhoid cream. Have you heard about because there's something in the cream that is to get the inflammation down. Okay. So I've never done this myself, but apparently if you're a bit puffy under the eyes or if you've got a big pimple, it'll sort of bring
hemorrhoid
cream. Yeah.
Bringing the I can't say
I don't think
that I'm, was the area I was know. Thinking about when you said hemorrhoid cream.
Yeah, I don't know if I would try it.
No,
I would not be trying
it on your wedding day.
Maybe if it was a fresh tube.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd be trying an already open tube.
I mean, you wouldn't want to be going back for seconds.
No round two on the hemorrhoid cream. That's good. That's cute.
So, when is like the last absolute time before your wedding that you should get like a facial or a microdermabrasion, abrasion, that kind of thing? Like, what's the absolute like? Last moment that you can get it done before.
Yeah, I say 3 months. Don't be adding anything new. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Even a facial.
Oh.
If you're getting microdermabrasions, like when would you stop them?
Anything abrasive, definitely 3 months.
Okay.
But talk to your – if it's a regular thing in your routine, that's totally fine. But if you're adding it into your routine, I definitely have a 3 month cutoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about then like for moles? If I've got a mole on my lip that I – quite often spot remove when I'm editing, which is really terrible for my fashion photos. Because I'm not a huge fan of it and I haven't gone and seen a skin doctor yet about removing it. And I'm thinking about doing that. But like if I was getting married in like a year, when should I realistically be looking at getting my mole removed?
I'd be getting a consult straight away. Yeah. Just book in for that consult, have a chat with your medical professional and they'll talk you through that. Yeah. There's certainly options, but you certainly don't want any sort of scarring or anything like that leading up to your wedding. So
because if there is a small scar, I had this thing on my head because I don't have hair that I had to get removed. You can see the scars if you're close up, but it's not just getting it removed and the scar healing. It's that when a scar is fresh, even a small scar, you might not be able to notice it if it, you know, wasn't your own, but it's pinker. But then over time it gets lighter.
Yeah.
So if it was on your face, you'd want enough time, I guess, for that scar. Well, I mean, obviously you don't want a scar at all, but maybe that look of no scar at all is just because that tissue
and
has
even
lightened.
Textural-wise, if you think of a scar, the texture of a scar as opposed to your normal skin, the texture's so different. And I just find on scars, makeup doesn't hold on quite as well. It can sort of slide off because you don't have that sort of texture. Does that make sense?
You don't have those like baby hairs.
Yeah.
Scars don't grow those baby hairs to grow.
And there's no pores. Yeah. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
A couple of my friends do that dermaplaning, which is where you like shave your entire face.
Oh, my God, that's so amazing before your wedding.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
As long as you don't, one of my friends who is a celebrant who shall remain nameless, but I love you, accidentally slipped with her dermaplane and sliced her cheek, a really long, thin slice down her cheek.
God, that would have hurt.
And she doesn't have a scar now, so it must have been a very surface scratch. But so is that something good for the wedding? Is
it's amazing.
Oh, I've never tried it.
Helps to put the makeup on.
Because you don't have all the fluffies.
So you've done it.
Yeah, I did it just the other day.
Did you? Oh, I've never tried it.
I'll show you after.
It's amazing.
I've got like a little.
Because some people naturally have those little blonde.
Yeah, well, some people have like because I've got PCOS, I've got lots of extra hair that grows, and like especially the darker, coarser hair, and I don't want that on my face. But I've also noticed too when I've seen people wear makeup, their hair, like they just look hairier because like the foundation gets
on the
caught,
face hair.
Yeah, it gets caught in all the hair. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want my hair to lower, like to make my face look worse. It kind of ages you a bit. I want it to be smooth and I want it to look better. Yeah. So I use
so it's for the smoothness.
Yeah. But your skincare goes into your skin better as well.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've definitely got Lebanese sideburns and my mo. It's just my background. I can't help it. But it's more like I didn't realize it was the little fuzzy.
Yeah, the peach fuzz.
Bits of the skin as well.
But it's like an exfoliant as well.
Mm.
Wow.
Because it takes off like the dead skin as well. Mm. It's been really good. Like I've had some pimples recently and because I've been dermaplaning, the dead skin's been coming off rather than me like taking to my face with tweezers and like making it bleed, which is so bad because I'm known for doing that. Doug's like looking at me like, yep, you do that a lot. So, yeah.
He looks concerned. There's a twitch of that eyebrow.
Yeah.
A twitch in concern.
So, yeah, well, the other day I was sitting on the couch and I like just scratched one off and I was like feeling it. He's like, yeah, it looks bad. He's just answering what I was thinking.
So the dermaplaning is saving you from attacking your own face.
Yeah. Well, I get lots of pimples having PCOS, but with PCOS you get like bigger pimples, like they're severe ones.
Did you have a reaction when you first started dermaplaning though? Did you find a lot of impurities came out or you were
like maybe a little bit but not a whole lot. It's more like around my chin, I would say, which is like generally what happens with that. Yeah. But I've got lots of smudging and stuff on my skin from lots of my PCOS skin issues that I've had in the past as well.
Yeah.
I'm about to go see somebody, like a specialist in Glenelg about that. So I'm really excited to have like some treatments and stuff. So it's going to be good.
Excellent.
I'd love to ask you about hair though, because I've been like really getting into hair lately.
Yeah.
I've always really been into hair because I think my hair has been like what I would consider my best feature for a long time.
What's your signature?
Yeah.
You do have very glamorous hair.
Oh, thank you. It's a lot thinner now from my PCOS and like having thyroid issues as well. We're like getting into like the health sphere.
This
now.
Is our health podcast.
But really good, I think, for brides to know. But I didn't realize because I look after my hair quite well and my hairdresser said to me that I was looking after my hair really well. But then I was like, oh, there's actually so much more that I could do with my hair that I didn't realize. So things like and I get Doug to do this as well now. So there's things in the shower that you can do, like you wash just like the top of your hair with the shampoo and just the bottom with your conditioner. But I use like a scalp massager.
Oh, that sounds scalp. Fun.
Yeah. It's very luxe.
And then also just using like lukewarm water to actually on the hair to wash it, like not putting it under really hot water because you're putting hot tools on it like all the time anyway. And then things like hair slugging. Have you heard of slugging?
No.
Yeah. So slugging is like where you get a light oil and you put it through the ends of your hair and then you get like a fuzzy sock and you like pull the hair into this sock and you sleep with it in there. And as you're sleeping, the hair like eats up or drinks up all of the light oil and it just like you have less split ends because it's not like rubbing on your cotton pillow or whatever.
Yeah. So,
do you mean like a special oil or do you mean you're like whipping out your olive oil and putting it in your hair?
Yeah, I'm using Moroccan oil.
Oh, you are?
It's a light oil.
Okay.
So you could use, macadamia oil or an.
Oh, you could?
Yeah, or it's a special hair oil.
Mm.
I've got the Moroccan oil that I'm using, like a real light one. You don't want to use a heavy one.
So, how's your hair the next day though?
Really good. Yeah. It's like dry.
Yeah.
And just like really like silky.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been really good. And I've been sleeping with like a silk bonnet as well on a silk pillow.
Oh, my God, stop. I was going to ask that. I saw an ad for a pillow, like a special pillowcase, I should say, sorry.
Yeah.
That's good for your hair. Have you ever
seen that? They're great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the one I have is a silk one, but I bought it because it was meant to stop you from getting acne. But then I realized my acne is hormonal anyway, so that's going to happen. It's not from
your
bacteria in the pillowcase. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
same thing for African Americans. Mm. Like they love to like contain their hair before they go to bed because that rubbing on their pillowcase just really activates
heaps of
the curls.
Yeah.
And they just wake up with these crazy afros. Yeah. So that's why they wrap it before they go to bed. Yeah.
But it stops the breakage as well, which is great.
Yeah.
So Doug's been doing it with me so that he gets his nice hair because he's got longer hair than me. The bastard.
It's very lush.
No, it's fine. My hair's just like stuck at the same length. So I've been trying to do all this stuff to help it to grow to the length that I want it to.
Yeah.
Which there's lots of things that you can eat and all the things that I've said that to do as well. That
yeah, anything like with good oils, you know, like your nuts, avocado.
Yeah.
Fish, you know, like your fatty fishes, you know, like your salmons and that sort of thing. Tuna, yeah. Yeah. That's all good for you. All those oils sort of get absorbed through your body. Yeah.
I just think the more like
anything with silica, all those supplements with silica, collagen.
Keratin.
Yeah.
Is that a thing I read?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember keratin, about nails. But
but now it's still the same thing.
I like just had to contribute something because I don't actually have hair. So I just was like, I'm going to say one thing, keratin, cool. Yeah.
Still get your hair cut though.
Yeah, I do. My hair routine. Yours sounds amazing. I want a head massage. My hair routine is 50 minutes every month and it's going to the barber, getting shaved off and going home.
So nice.
I know, but I think that probably if you shaved off all your hair and then let it grow back, it would be amazing. I always wonder if that's true.
Very grey.
Yeah. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
No, well, I had a girlfriend who had breast cancer and shaved all her – and her hair has come back amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And it came back curly. So because I've known her since like year eight in high school and dead straight poker straight hair.
Yeah.
And then after breast cancer and gone through all the treatment and just shaved it all off and then just let it grow back. Mm. And now she's got these beautiful sort of strawberry blonde waves.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Amazing.
A friend of ours did that too. She had, well, when she was a child, she had leukemia and she had straight hair and then it came back really curly when it grew back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just for the because of the shaving or because of the hormone changes.
I don't know. I think it's a combination of both.
Wow. Yeah. Or maybe one day, Dana. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So when should couples be washing their hair before the big day?
Same thing as the beard diary. Have a hair diary.
Yes. So good.
Everyone's different. And I always tell my couples, just do your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like some people have to wash their hair every day. And if you are that person, then wash it on the day. Mm-hmm. I can always build it up with products and we can layer it up. Don't worry about it. I feel everyone just needs to be as comfortable as possible. There's so much going on in the day and if they're worrying about, oh, my gosh, I haven't washed my hair in 3 days and, I just wanted to add this texture because I want an upstyle, like times have changed. The hair products are so amazing now and, like hair texturizers and things like that have just been a game changer for us in hairstyling. And hairsprays are so much better now.
Yeah, dry shampoo is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, again, keep a hair diary. I tell all my clients and work out when you feel your hair's at its best. Mm-hmm. And particularly curly hair clients, they might be, 4 days out, 3 days out, or they've got a process that they like to do when they feel like their curls are at their best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you suggest for somebody that has had, like, for me, a thyroid issue that then might have thinner hair? Like, do you work with things like toppers or wigs as well?
Toppers are amazing.
Aren't they just?
Yeah. They're the best. I love them because you just get a more seamless look.
Yeah.
And it does get tricky. Like, if you've got thinning hair and you're trying to put in clip-in extensions, it's just adding so much weight, so much stress. And then it's, it's more stress on you because you're thinking, oh, my gosh, can people see the clips?
Yeah.
There's a few little tricks because I used to do, like Fashion Week in Sydney. So we used to do the wefts and I'd take the clips off and I'd just put eyelash glue and stick the wefts to the scalp. So that way it's not putting pressure on the hair and it's just a lot more sort of comfortable feeling for everyone as well. So there are a few little tricks that you can do as well.
Guys, that sounds amazing. Just for those of us without deep hair knowledge, what's a topper?
Ooh, mind blown.
mind will be blown when I actually have any clue what you're talking about.
So it's like a half wig, but just the top of the hair, because some people have enough thickness underneath, but they're really struggling, like on if you've got people with alopecia and things like, or just that thinning around the front, it just adds that thickness and it just sits on the top, clips in and, yeah, it just looks...
It goes on top, yeah, of your natural hair.
That sounds a lot easier than extensions.
Oh, so much easier.
Dragging down the bottom.
It looks better and it probably photographs better too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it doesn't look like you're wearing a topper or a wig. Like it looks so natural.
So amazing. Yeah.
Because you dye it the same as the hair like you do with the extensions.
Yeah, you get it colour matched. Yeah, there's places that do I think you send them like photos of your hair or you can go in and they look at it and then they like colour match it.
Sally here in Adelaide is amazing.
Which one, too?
Sally. So I think it's called Hair Chair by Sally and she makes them from scratch so she can measure your head. So I refer a lot of clients to Sally and she'll colour match she'll work out what sort of your budget so she can work out what sort of grade of hair because there's all these different grades.
I was going to ask, what's it made of?
Yeah, so it's all human hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, and you can reuse it. So if it is an issue for it. Yeah, you keep it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you have off the top of your head, a budget for where something like that starts? Or Dynamite?
She's got an amazing secondhand page now. So if you are on a budget, you can get a piece for around $550 to $650 for a reasonably priced one. But for brand new, God, you could be paying about $1,500.
Mm. Wow.
But if it is an ongoing thing for you, it is actually quite an investment.
Yeah, it is.
And if you get a secondhand one, can you change the colour?
Yeah, because it's human hair.
Okay, so you just get one that's the right shape and then kind of dye it.
Yeah, and even, you know, obviously you'd stick with blondes or you can alter the brown. Yeah, because you don't want to be like over-colouring it because you're going to be adding heat to it and that sort of thing. But, yeah, highly recommend.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I've just learnt something new.
I know. Yeah. I think it's so good because I think, like, we've come to like a new time now where there are actually things to help you feel your best.
Mm.
If you do want to be wearing something like that, there is that option.
Yeah. It's not always people's comfort zones to be wearing extensions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I talk my clients through that and then we sort of work out, okay, what can we do to the hair to achieve it naturally and, you know, work out that limit or, you know, do we need to go to like talking about toppers or extensions or, you know, getting a, if someone's doing a ponytail.
Yeah.
Like ponytails look so much better if they're nice and full.
Yeah, they do.
They still look cute when it's a little bit of hair, but when you put that dress on, you want it elevated, do you know what I mean? It's sort of to make it make sense. So even just the ponytail extensions look really amazing. Yeah.
So, Tash, thanks so much for being here today. It's been so wonderful chatting with you, all hair and makeup. I've learned so much. it's just been so fun as well. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So her website is natashakeneallybridal.com.au. On Facebook, it is Natasha Keneally Bridal. And on Instagram, it's Natasha_Keneally_bridal. If you would like the links to these, they're in the show notes.
If you're loving listening to the Wedding Edit podcast, please jump on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and give us a review.